The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Has it ever seemed to you like the same word means different things in different contexts in the Bible? Well, if you've noticed that, then this series is for you. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. Currently, we are exploring that very phenomenon, the fact that in the Bible, the word saved and salvation can often mean different things depending on the context and the book which it appears in. Well, without further ado, I want to jump right to today's discussion as we begin to look at the very important theological book of Romans in the Bible. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar will lead off the discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are exploring the idea of salvation in five New Testament books. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's a silly topic. We all know what salvation means. It means not going to hell and going to heaven.
Well, if that's what you think.
And if that's what you think.
Buckle up.
Put your hat on. Because, you know, it's like any other. I get mail every day from people, especially mortgage companies, that are like, listen, we can save you thousands of dollars over the course of your mortgage because interest rates are at historic lows. So refinance with us.
Save you on your auto insurance.
Yeah, or save on my auto insurance.
On your home insurance.
Now, are they talking about saving me, like helping me not go to hell when I die?
No.
Because in English, save or salvation refers to all kinds of things. And it's the same thing, guess what, in Greek and Hebrew.
Right. And in language, this is called range of meaning. One of the things we often do in English when you take English classes in elementary school is they'll say, what does the word trunk mean?
Right.
And you can have elementary school kids say, well, that's the back of the car.
Right.
And someone else will say, no, that's the nose of an elephant.
Right.
And someone else will say, no, that's the body of a tree.
Right.
And someone else will say, well, no, that's actually our own frame, the middle part of our bodies.
Right.
And so they got all these things, and the teacher says that's range of meaning.
And so we've all learned this since elementary school. But for some reason, when people read the Bible, the average person, it's as if they forget all of that.
Right.
And they just go for the most simplistic reading where they think save always means eternal salvation, always means heaven and hell. And that will distort your reading of the Bible.
Well, I tell you, Sean, one of the reasons we're doing this series on salvation in five New Testament books is because almost every one of the passages we're talking about are understood to refer to eternal salvation from hell, from eternal condemnation, avoiding that, and none of them are referring to that. So people misunderstand
right.
Philippians. They misunderstand James, they misunderstand Romans,
right.
And the other books we're going to look at after this. And the whole reason is because they have this kind of biased view of what soteria or sozo, salvation
right.
or to save, is.
Yeah, it might help you to think of it this way. Jesus is a big savior. The salvation he wants to give is enormous. It has lots of different facets. Think of a diamond with all kinds of different facets. And that's the kind of salvation that Jesus wants to give for you. It's not just avoiding the lake of fire when you die and being born again or being regenerated. There's lots of different aspects to the salvation that Jesus brings us as Savior. Those different aspects are brought out in different New Testament books. For example, in this show, we're going to start looking at the book of Romans.
Right.
The book of Romans is probably the most famous Pauline epistle.
Yeah, because of Luther.
It's because of Martin Luther rediscovers the doctrine of justification, and this kind of starts the Reformation. And I was reading someone recently say that Luther did a great job reading Romans chapters 3 and 4, but then he seems to have totally ignored the rest of the book.
Right.
Because Romans is not just about justification.
Actually, it's kind of a small sliver that's about justification.
Yeah, forensic justification is just a small sliver of the message of Romans. And Romans is actually, maybe you can think of it more in terms of, Romans is about salvation, but maybe not in the way people think.
Right. Zane Hodges has a commentary on Romans, and the subtitle is Deliverance from Wrath. Or in British English, it's Roth, right?
Roth.
Sean Connery would probably say Roth.
Yes, Roth. No,
can you do that?
Can I do it? Yeah, okay. Deliverance from the Roth. No, I can't, no.
Anyway, We're going to look at five uses of the noun soteria, or salvation, in Romans. And there are, the verb also appears there, but it gets a little unwieldy to handle those. And I believe they do follow the same trend. But we're going to look at five uses of soteria. And we're going to see that all five refer to deliverance from God's wrath in this life. And his wrath in this life means consequences that result when we stray from him.
This is a big idea. I don't know, maybe we should start off by describing what that means. Because when people think about wrath, again, they're going to think about hell and demons and pitchforks and, you know, they're going to think of this cartoony version of hell. But that's not the type of wrath that Paul's talking about in Romans.
No, wrath in Romans is God's judgment in time, temporal judgment.
Right.
And so that can fall on either a believer or an unbeliever. And the book is all about the fact that the believer should not be experiencing temporal judgment.
Mm-hmm.
The believer need not do that. Now, the unbeliever, unless they have been around the teaching of God's word significantly and have started to apply it even as an unbeliever, so you can be like Cornelius, where the man is a God-fearing Gentile and his prayers and alms ascend to God, etc. But except in cases like that, unbelievers are under the wrath of God, and it's worse depending on the level of depravity they've fallen into. Romans 1, 18 through 32 is all about having a depraved mind and falling into depraved practices.
Right.
And even that's part of the wrath of God.
So, God, yeah, the wrath of God is expressed. And we're going to get to this. We're going to get to this a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the wrath of God is expressed not by shooting meteors on the earth, you know, not by necessarily sending, you know, locusts and all these horrible things. In Romans, the wrath of God seems to be expressed in two ways that I can think of. One, giving people over to the sins that they want to commit.
Right.
And in Romans 13, using the state, the sword of the state, as an agent of wrath against evildoers.
Right.
Which is, you know, people don't think about that as the police powers of the state as an agent of the wrath of God.
No, but if a person is in jail or in prison and they've actually committed a crime, they're not innocent, well, then they are suffering for something they've done, and this is all part of the wrath of God. It's part of God's justice.
I mean, what people don't realize, and actually Martin Luther did pick up this in the book of Romans, God works through people. He works through the church, but he also works through the structures of society.
Right.
You know, and so he uses the state to kind of express his wrath and justice. But let's get to the book, all right? Let's get to this first use.
And this first use is probably the one that is pivotal, because this is the one that Luther really got wrong, and it has resulted in untold numbers of pastors, theologians, and commentators getting this wrong. It's Romans 1:16.
All right, here's what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. There's that word, salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
That could be translated, I think, better, the just by faith shall live.
Shall live.
And the shall live part would be Romans 5 through 8. It's a call to live in the Spirit,
now,
according to the Spirit.
I can tell you how people normally interpret this. They interpret this strictly in light of Paul's justification teaching.
They do.
And so what they understand this to mean is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is for them the message of justification. For it's the power of God for basically eternal salvation, because we're talking about, they're going to say this is justification salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew and for the Greek, and it can be for the Jew and the Greek because it's apart from works, so it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're under the Mosaic law or not. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So this is, again, they're going to take this as the imputed righteousness of Christ. Just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so now you live eternally by believing in Jesus. I think that's probably the Lutheran interpretation.
Right, and you get a lot of
evangelicals.
Protestants and evangelicals, etc. But here's the thing, Sean,
that
what that involves is what you just said, equating salvation in Romans and justification in Romans.
Right.
And that's a tremendous error. I'll tell you one reason. The justification section is Romans 3:21 to 4:25. Mm-hmm. Guess how many times the words save or salvation occur in the justification section?
Every single
time. All
occurrence.
The time. No, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
How about 10 times? No.
No.
5 times?
2 times.
No.
2?
1 time. No. How about 0?
Interesting. So this is an interesting way of studying the Bible. When you look at a book of the Bible and you want to know what an author means by a word save, the first thing you should do is probably look up every occurrence of the word save.
You think?
Just try to see what context it occurs in. So if the Lutheran interpretation of salvation here was right, you would expect Paul to call justification as salvation in the justification section. And you're saying he doesn't even use the word salvation there.
Right. In fact, all through the book, he distinguishes between salvation and justification. We're going to have to finish this up in the next episode, but I can throw out this much. Notice what he says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is British understatement today.
Right, right.
It means I am very proud of the gospel of Christ.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God to deliverance is the way that probably should be translated, although salvation's fine for me as long as you understand salvation has a wide range of meaning. For everyone who believes. In other words, what this is saying is the gospel is the power of God so that you and I who believe in Jesus can be saved. Now, we already are justified. We already are saved in the sense of having everlasting life. But the salvation he's talking about here is something which we need on an ongoing basis.
All right. So, you know, we've barely even scratched the surface here, and we're going to continue this in the next episode.
Yeah. And by the way, as we look at these five uses, they're all interconnected. So we can finish up on 1:16, kind of leaving it a little bit, some threads loose. And as we go through the other uses in the book, you'll see what we're saying about the fact that in Romans, justification and salvation are two different things.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue our look at Romans, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.